You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Huge thank you to Mike Florio for hopping on with us. If you missed that, we'll be posting it later. And, of course, you can get on our podcast as well. He was awesome about a myriad of different things. The Texans, awesome during the preseason. 3-0 they go as they beat the San Francisco 49ers 17-0 last night.
Yo, Baltimore Ravens, watch out.
Yeah, they have that streak of like 22 game, preseason games won.
But the Texans, right behind, 3-0, and got a shutout.
Damian Pierce obviously looked great last night. It was cool to see the national folks pick up on that. We've obviously watched him in training camp. Understandably so, the Texans aren't like even in the top 15 teams people talk about. But last night, Damian Pierce showed some flashes again. Here's what Lovie Smith had to say on what we think could be the running back one.
They show you who should start, who should play. Damon has taken advantage of every opportunity he's gotten. I think for everybody that's seen him play the few games he's played, you've been impressed.
He's averaging like 9 yards a carry last night. And every single time he touched the football, you just see the explosiveness, acceleration, the ability to make people miss, the ability to bounce off guys, everything you want out of a running back thus far. It's really going to be a matter of, can he pick up blitzes on third downs? Is he going to be able to catch passes when it's thrown his way? Those are the two follow-up questions I guess I have. But when you hand this guy the ball, he makes plays. And it's fun, finally, to have another person, not named Brandon Cooks, who is capable of doing that on this team. Because for the most part, look, nothing against a Nico Collins, who's more of your big body guy that you're going to use a lot in the red zone, or a Chris Conley, Brevin Jordan, the other skill players that the Texans have, but it's really just Brandon Cooks, and it's pretty easy for a defense to take one player out of a game.
You can't rely too much on one guy.
Right.
Especially when you have an essentially, like you said earlier, almost rookie quarterback because he didn't play the whole year yesterday. I liked what I saw from Marlon Mack. I thought the defense looked good again. Trey Lance was unimpressive. I underestimated, by the way, how much of the national storyline that would be from the game. Obviously, in Houston, we're worried about the Texans. What I saw on Twitter and what the national shows were talking about this morning was one play Trey.
Yeah, the Amazon broadcast was talking about him a whole lot. Understandably so. I mean, at the very beginning of the broadcast, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit were basically like, wow, so a lot of 49ers fans at this Texans preseason game. Seems like all 49ers fans, in fact, after a couple of plays that the Niners had made. So you can understand why it also would just be about him, because there's not much national interest in the Texans. But yeah, he looks like he's got a long way to go. But give the Texans defense a little bit of credit. I thought that they did a very good job of sticking with him in pursuit. In particular, look, Jerry Hughes is 13 years in the league now. And Jerry Hughes did, I thought, a pretty good job of, at the very least, chasing and sacking Trey Lance. There's that first play where Lance was able to escape out of the pocket and give a little shimmy to Hughes and move out to the right. And I thought to myself, Hughes looks a little slow there. But the rest of the game, that was like the only time where Hughes looked like he didn't have, the fleetest of feet. He looked really good the rest of the game. So nice veteran to add. And in addition to him and Rasheem Green, you're hoping that maybe there's going to be a little more production from the defensive ends on this team this year.
Kenyon Green did not start, but he did get in the game and he had some solid flashes as well. Here's Lovie on Kenyon Green.
I can't wait to see the video, but the plays I did see, there's a reason why we drafted him in the first round. He's a good football player. I thought he did some good things out there, made some good plays, but he's capable of that. You know, eventually, Kenyon would be in the lineup.
That is the most important part of that clip.
Yeah, the eventually.
Because I thought, okay, of all the guys that are young players on this team, Vanessa, that he's the one that has the steepest uphill battle to getting on the field. You hear that from Lovie Smith, they're going to put him out there. And you know what? You should like that, because that means that they're just going to play young players. And you're going to see whether or not they're good.
It's the opposite of Bill O'Brien, right?
Right.
Rookies don't know anything. Lovie Smith seems like he actually really believes in this rookie class.
Not just O'Brien. That's coaches across the league.
That's true, yeah. It's unfair to put it just on OB.
But you're right in that O'Brien was annoying with it. And at some point, you just got to put the guys out there and see whether or not that they sink or swim. And one of the benefits of being a team that's clearly in a rebuild is you can do that. You don't have to say to yourself, no, we have to put the best possible players out there. No, let the young kids play in a regular season game, see if they're actually any good.
So the defense has been not good the last couple of years. I liked the competent defense that I saw. Like you said, the way that they were able to handle Trey Lance and the 49ers offense. Jalen Petrie says that this defense has more of a plan.
I would say we're fast, violent, and, you know, we're looking to get the ball out. Whether that's interceptions, like y'all seen tonight, we had two of those, or strips. I think Coach Lovey and the defensive staff does a great job at preaching, you know, turnovers and also, you know, just playing very violent and fast. So when you combine those three, you're going to do a great job at defense, whatever level you're playing at.
I mean, Lovey's a defensive-minded coach, so I expected an improvement, but it's good to hear that they have some chemistry and that they're gelling.
Those old-school Bears teams that had Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, Peanut Tillman, among other players, they were so good at forcing takeaways. And look, you got to find a way to do that in this league when you do not have perhaps the best linebacker core, the best defensive line. You have to be creative. And I think that the first step is just having guys who are constantly around the football. And you've seen that from Petrie a lot at first. I love to see guys who constantly are near the play at the end of a play. Petrie's there like every single play. Steven Nelson was doing that a couple of times. If you're around the ball, good things can happen defensively. Whether it's because you're coming in to help with a tackle, you're coming in to try to strip the football, or something like that. I want more of that. And I thought that last night they all did a very good job of it. It's not exclusive to one player, but Petrie really shined the most. And, you know, we do have to give a shout out. And I keep on forgetting his name. And I feel bad about this because I see his number 69 and I just act like a small child. But.
Oh, Heinisch, right?
Heinisch, the defensive lineman.
Yeah, he was great.
He might be a sneaky little find for them.
John McClain tweeting this earlier. Since the Texans are in the second year of their rebuild, they should offer left tackle Laremy Tunsil to the Cowboys to replace the injured Tyron Smith. Texans are going to the playoffs. That might have been aren't. Cowboys are trying to repeat as NFC East champs. Tunsil is healthy and ready to roll.
Not a bad idea. I like that McClain settling into like sports talk radio mode now.
Yes.
But that's not a bad idea because, look, you want to have Mills protected. And there was a moment last night where the left tackle who was stepping in for Davis Mills, poor guy, just got absolutely destroyed. First play of the game, and he almost killed Davis Mills and cut off his legs. Well, check that. He did sack him on the first play, and then it wasn't too long later where, again, coming from the blind side, Davis Mills almost got hurt. So, if you want Davis Mills to get the most out of himself this coming season, you do need to have Laremy Tunsil. That said, I mean, it's not the worst idea because, like, I don't know what Tunsil's commitment level is. I get that he re-upped here, but it's hard to buy into the idea that he's bought
in. We still don't know what his injury was. We still, like, we're never going to know that.
Right.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to talk a little bit about the Amazon broadcast. What did you like? What did you not like? Paul, of course, has some thoughts. Plus, the Astros lineups, your opinions on that, particularly the situation at catcher. That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, new broadcast we saw last night. Amazon Prime had the game. It was the first kind of time that we've seen that new team. It was the first time for Ryan Fitzpatrick on television. We haven't seen Richard Sherman do television. It was interesting to say the least, and I think it got mostly good reviews. What did you think, Paul?
I liked it. I felt like the pregame show is going to have to figure out how to best work the audio side of things because they were getting drowned out by music in the background in a largely empty stadium. I don't think they could really hear each other, but it's an interesting crew. I've always liked Ryan Fitzpatrick. I'm interested in what Richard Sherman has to say. Tony Gonzalez, maybe not the biggest fan of, but I also like Carissa Thompson directing the whole thing. The sideline reporter, Kaylee Hartung, she seems like, at the very least, she's got energy. I guess Andrew Whitworth is going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. Like, really, the only issue I have is that I guess that Dude Perfect's going to be involved. Those guys are insufferable.
Yeah, but they're doing an alternate broadcast, right?
I would like to alternate them out of the equation entirely.
Yeah, I don't get that. Those are the Aggie
guys, right?
We throw frisbees,
yeah, bro.
Yeah.
I won't be
watching that.
I don't get it.
But I thought that it was pretty good. I thought Kirk Herbstreit and Al Michaels sounded like they've worked together for 20 years. They didn't talk over each other. There wasn't a lot of interrupting. I thought that, like you said, Kaylee Hartung, they did a really creative thing where she interviewed her new teammates throughout the preseason game. And ultimately, I think what they did well was they took the opposite approach of Apple TV.
What's that?
When Apple TV was like, let's do everything different. Different graphics. Different people in the booth that don't call games. Amazon was like, we're going to do a typical broadcast. It's not going to be too much. I think they kept it simple. I eventually would like to see more of Ryan Fitzpatrick's personality. But props to them for not making him like, you're going to be the weird guy, which happens a lot on broadcasts. So I overall thought it was a great product.
It wasn't a chucklehead pregame show.
Right.
I do have to say two things, though, about the play-by-play guy. I love Al Michaels. Al Michaels has lost the fastball. There were a couple of moments that he just completely missed. There was one moment in particular where he said it was going to be fourth down. I was like, nope, it is going to be third down. And I found myself wondering what the hell was going on. He acknowledged it like, oh, it's the preseason for us, too. There were a couple of moments where he was asleep
at
the wheel.
He's like in his 70s.
That's true. Look, again, he's one of the greatest of all time, but
yeah,
that was not his best broadcast. And I'm sorry, I can't do Kirk Herbstreit. I can't.
You're not a Herbstreit fan, huh?
Well, he shouldn't be talking about the NFL. Like, what history does he have with this league?
Well, he doesn't have a history with it, but he calls a lot of college games.
Okay, great. Does that mean he's watching any of the NFL games? I don't think so. I feel like he talks about these players, too, like they're still college football players. Mm-hmm. And there's an element where you have to be critical if you're the guy in the booth. Like, that's why I like Troy Aikman as much as I do. I think Aikman...
I think Troy's the GOAT of color commentators.
Right now, yeah. Aikman will take out a pistol and boom, he will kaboom someone right in the face. Da-da-da-da-da-da. Like, he will take him out. And Herbstreit is glad handling everything right now. And maybe that'll change over time with him doing this, but probably not because his main job is college football analysis, which, again, props to him. But they could have found somebody else to do this that has a background in the NFL. He's never played in the NFL. He doesn't have a history with the NFL. It feels forced. And I don't need more Kirk Herbstreit in my life talking about a sport that he's not associated with.
It was interesting that they didn't go the former player route. I, for a long time, thought that it would be Aikman at Amazon, as I think a lot of people did, but that's not how the cookie crumbled. I thought overall it was a really good broadcast. I thought that the graphics were good. The replay was good. Like I said, it wasn't anything too fancy. But Carissa Thompson's a pro. She's, you know, obviously does the Fox pregame show as well. So it was interesting to see that. That is the Thursday night football crew, and they had quite the dress rehearsal here in Houston. No dress rehearsal for the Astros. We are in August. There you go. And they swept the Minnesota Twins.
C-minus.
C-minus. Okay, I've had a lot of A-pluses, though. So
you have. You've been on a roll. You've been
Thank
on a roll
you.
With the transitions. But, you know, sometimes, you know.
You know, you can't always nail it. You can't always nail it. But the Astros did sweep the Minnesota Twins with a win 6-3 last night. Mancini with another 3-run homer. I don't know how many of those he's had, but he's been great since joining the Astros. 6 home runs and 16 RBI in his 18 games since being traded from the Orioles. He will face, by the way, his former team this weekend.
Yeah, and that ought to be interesting to see how much he'll get to play against his former team, because that's the big question
it's
with Trey Mancini. Look,
thoughts on the lineup, first and foremost, because that's what everyone's talking about.
Well, I mean, Mancini, when he's in the lineup, he has been delivering. And while he is not this destroyer of worlds that I think we make him out to be because we're so frustrated that he is on the bench, he did have yet another home run last night. He also struck out 3 times. There is a bit of a feast or famine dynamic with him that one of my buddies who broadcast for the Orioles told me about. Now, the Christian Vasquez being in the lineup, I mean, this one I still don't get. He's batting 5th yesterday. He has 2 hits. He's 2-for-3. He has the second highest batting average on the team. I know batting average isn't the end-all be-all, but I mean, the guy's a damn good player. He's not a bad catcher. It's not like when you throw the ball to home plate, he's going to be like, oh, God, oh, no. Like, you know, and
right.
It's not like Martin Maldonado either. Is like, I don't know, Jeremy Renner in, what's that movie with the bomb squad? Hurt Locker. Yeah. It's not. It's not like Martin Maldonado is the only person that knows how to catch a baseball. You know, it's not that skilled of a craft. Oh, he's so good at calling games. I don't know. Vasquez, man, just does more for me. John Granato, I thought, had a good idea that he posted on Twitter last night, which is, hey, like, put him in the designated hitter spot from time to time, too. More Vasquez moments in the lineup. Having him sit on the pine while Martin Maldonado goes, like, over 3, doesn't sit well with me.
Sean, did you watch the Texans preseason game or the Astros game?
I caught a little bit of the Astros game against the Twins. The preseason Texans, I can't do it.
You're not into it. You can barely do the regular season Texans.
Right? For real. I was thinking about, like, oh, how many regular season Texans games am I going to have to watch now? And it's going to be more than the last couple of years, which were, like, one.
Yeah, yeah. Jeremy Pena, guys, hit an RBI double with two outs in Houston's eighth to make it 6-3. Pena's been a little bit of that rookie slump that we expected him to happen, but he had a good game last night. Do you think that this situation and this scenario with Carlos Correa makes him regret not taking the five-year deal that the Astros offered him? I thought about that a lot because Carlos Correa making his return, as we said, it helps that he wasn't with the Yankees. It helps that he's not with the Dodgers. It helps that Jeremy Pena has done a decent job. Do you think he regrets not taking a deal that the Astros offered him? Because I don't think he gets the 10-year deal he wants after this season.
You know, that's an interesting point. And he did say, what, I see myself in Minnesota for a long time.
He said that because he knows he's not going to get the decade deal that he wanted.
I think he still can opt out after next year, too. Yeah, this has not been the starlight year that I think he was hoping for. I do feel for him in a way. Now he's stuck in Minnesota. I mean, if he doesn't opt out.
Do you remember when they said, what are you going to do in Minnesota? And he was like, well, they have Netflix.
Oh my God. He
didn't even like try to make it sound like he was going to get involved in the community. He was like, yeah, you're right. There's nothing there. We're going to stay inside and make babies.
I must have missed that. Oh, more children. Okay. Well, good for he and Daniela. Congrats on the sex. I think that you're right. I don't believe he has done enough to give himself like this massive $300 million contract that so many of these guys are looking for every single offseason. And I'd also say, too, not that you would have this worry with Correa, because Correa seems like an adult. But, I mean, you're seeing how this is working out with the $300 million contract that was given to Fernando Tatis. I feel like teams should be a little bit more wary, perhaps, about these massive deals that they're giving out. Some players are going to be pissed off about it, but, I mean, sometimes you have like a dead husk that's essentially like just stealing money from you at the end of his tenure, at the end of his contract, like Albert Pujols with the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. And I know he's had a good last couple of weeks in St. Louis, but good God, you know, you got to be careful with these deals. You're right. I don't think he's going to get that one.
I don't think he will either. I have a new way that I would like you guys to refer to me as.
Okay.
Sims from couple of tweets that I've gotten.
Oh, what's going on here?
And if you don't talk to me like this, then don't talk to me.
If I don't talk to you like this, yeah. So hang on. Is this like...
Vanessa Richardson, you are the most beautiful woman in the universe. You are perfect. I am here for you. I am waiting for you.
Did your mom write that?
No!
It's what? Not your mom.
No!
Oh.
It's a man on Twitter.
A man on Twitter?
He also said, perfect season. Houston Texans, number one offense, number one defense.
He's
the
got
running
takes.
Game always to the Super Bowl right here. Let's win. Everything is possible.
He's got takes. I think, you know, if people want an alternative to Josh Beard when I'm out, like, why not this guy? And it could be like a first date for you, too, because he's clearly here for you.
It sounds like...
Is he hot?
I don't know if he's hot. I don't know if he's hot. It doesn't look like on Twitter. It looks like it may be a fake Twitter account. Also, he's responding to a lot of porn stars, which doesn't make me feel good either.
That's high praise. Really? Yeah. You're elite company.
You know what?
Elite company.
Am
You're
I
a professional company.
Jenna Jameson? I don't know. Ryan would like to talk about... Yeah, it's a throwback. That's the
Damn.
Only one I know because I watched her E! True Hollywood Story.
Oh,
Ryan would like
sure.
to talk about Carlos Correa. Ryan, what's up?
What's going on?
Hey.
Going on? Anyways, so I have kind of maybe a deep dive, kind of like a fantasy thing. I mean, Correa still has a cannon. What if they bring him back, but they try to get him in left field?
Ooh. Thoughts?
Left field would be weird. I don't know if he would accept it either.
I don't know that he'd want that.
Well, look, I got to say this about Alex Rodriguez. I mean, very easy guy to criticize over the course of his career. But the guy deserves a lot of credit for having the lack of ego. Which is funny, because the guy's an egomaniac.
The one place he didn't have ego.
To move to third base when he joined the Yankees. But, it would be one thing to move him to third base. I think he would actually make a lot of sense somewhere at third base. But you have Alex Bregman. Outfield, I don't know. I mean, especially watching, you know, Mancini out in the outfield. Some of these guys, there is a clear discrepancy in terms of their ability out there. It's not as easy as just plopping a Trey Mancini out there as we've seen, you know? And you know what? Give Yordan Alvarez a lot of credit. Alvarez has been actually respectable. in the outfield this year. But I don't know. I don't know if that would work out. And here's the thing with the Astros, too. It's not about left field. Like, they can put a couple of guys out there. It's about center field right now. And
Brantley.
Because Brantley's gone, right. too. It's their outfield depth has just really evaporated.
And
overnight.
You said that from the beginning, that Click should have made more moves.
Should have done something there.
Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Charles Barkley has opinions. We know that. But you got to hear one that he has here. First, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network, baby, a full-service real estate investment firm. Do you like money? Yes, you do. Yes. Stop talking to me if you're a communist. You like money, and you want to sit down with a portfolio advisor and go over your long-term goals with them so you can make money through real estate investment. Prices are going up everywhere. You buy a house, the next thing you know, like it's going to be super, super pricey a couple years later. So why not get in with a team that knows what they are doing? The Passive Investor Network, just the hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in. Then they do the construction for you, making these things look beautiful with their 20-plus years of experience in fixing houses. You'll get daily updates and pictures of the property on the Passive Investor Network app. Once the construction is done, they do more for you. They find the tenants for you. They do the property management. They do pretty much everything for you, but you own the house. They just do the hard work for you so you can invest passively and help reach your long-term goals that you'll sit down and talk about with a Passive Investor Network portfolio advisor. And you can have a free meeting with one. Free! By going to PassiveInvestor.net, tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you. Again, PassiveInvestor.net. You can also join them on the bus tour and see some of these houses and how they get fixed up. The Passive Investor Network, again, go to PassiveInvestor.net. Say ESPN 97.5 sent you by for a free consultation. Start making money today.
ESPN 97.5.
And Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's only appropriate that we play Tom Petty. Should we do an impromptu Petty segment? Because this next thing is Petty.
I like it.
This is
Petty. Teddy.
Petty.
Petty.
Tom, yeah, that's our theme music. Actually, our theme music is Tom Petty, but I like Paul's little. It's better than the Meow song. Charles Barkley has thoughts. On everything, from LIV Golf Tour to certain teams that he covers. But Charles Barkley gave his thoughts on Kevin Durant and specifically the way that Kevin Durant has handled his career trajectory on Arizona Sports, I believe is what this is called. Here's Charles Barkley.
You piggyback on the Warriors to win his first two championships. But if you go back and look at his career, as the best player and being a leader that all goes with that, he's been an abject failure.
Damn.
I mean, every time he's been like the guy who has to be the leader and the best player, he has not had success.
It's true.
And that's what us old guys think about him. Until he becomes the leader and best player on a championship team, where he has to deal with all the responsibility, all the media stuff that goes with it, expectations. So we're always going to hold that against him. But, man, he just seems like a miserable person, man. I call him Mr. Miserable. He's never going to be happy.
Mr. Miserable. Do you agree or disagree? Because I kind of agree.
I totally agree.
He's gotten he has everything given to him on a silver platter. I'm not saying he's not worthy of big contracts and whatnot, but then he always complains.
Well, you know, it's interesting hearing this take on Kevin Durant because it sort of makes me look in the mirror myself.
Oh.
Well, I think very often in any of our industries, you might find yourself frustrated that you're not received in a way that you think you should be. You don't really have that much control over it. And Durant did have a little bit of control over it in that he joined the Golden State Warriors. He helped them win multiple titles. He helped them, you know, form, I think, maybe the best basketball team of the modern era, maybe since the, you know, 96 Bulls. Maybe that team would have actually done pretty well against the recent iteration of the Warriors. But I think he thought he was going to be really praised for joining that team and dominating with that team. And instead, he was criticized for making the move. And then he was criticized after he made the move. And he has been criticized at every single point since then. And I think that as someone who lives online and who clearly does care about what other people say about him, he has become bitter. I don't think there's any denying that. And, I mean, he's had a great career.
Does it not remind you almost of James Harden? In a way. I know that they're two different players, but you talk about guys that have been catered to, given what they want, and then it seems like they're just always salty.
But I don't think Harden's ever been miserable, because I don't think Harden ultimately cares that much.
You think Kevin Durant cares more?
I think Durant cares a lot, but that he will never be happy. I think that Barkley calling him Mr. Miserable is right, because he is, whatever situation he goes to from here on out, he is not going to be received in the way that he would have been had he stayed with Oklahoma City his entire career and won a title with Oklahoma City. Like, it's over now. He can't change that. And I think that he will be chasing that, I guess, standing applause, standing ovation that's never going to be coming for the rest of his career. And it, you know, it could be in Brooklyn where he thinks it'll happen. It could be somewhere else at the end of his career. He is never going to be loved, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
It's depressing.
It is. I do understand why he would be miserable on that front, but Barkley's right.
Do you believe that Charles Barkley actually calls him Mr. Miserable, or do you think he thought of it in that moment?
Well, now he's got to go with it going forward.
Now he has to stick with it.
Because this thing went viral. I like it. I mean, he is. He's never going to be happy. He never seems happy. I've seen people like this in this very industry, close friends of mine, who are miserable as well.
Our industry is the worst.
I mean, yeah. And look, I always look at it and I'm like, dude, you have a great job. You know, maybe you're not where you want to be, but don't become this person. Don't become pissed off and angry and bitter.
Isn't it incredible
jealous?
How people that make it to the top of our industry are happy for like 5 months and then they then become miserable because they don't have the bigger assignment at ESPN?
Or this person's getting paid more.
Right. Yeah, it's incredible. Depressing if you think about it. Somebody that's being called petty locally, Brian T. Smith, who after Chet Holmgren got injured, tweeted, quote, Rockets number 3 pick looks even better. And man, oh man. Are people attacking him? Really, dude, you're making us look bad. Wishing injury on a player, blah, blah, blah. I don't think he wished injury on anybody.
People need to lighten the bleep up.
Right.
I mean, that's clear. Can you repeat the tweet one more time just so that we can hear it again?
It just says, Rockets number 3 pick looks even better. Sean, do you think that's Brian wishing injury on Chet Holmgren?
No, but I also don't really agree that it makes Jabari Smith look better because his foot isn't broken.
Right,
like,
right.
It doesn't actually. I mean, because it's not like the Rockets chose Jabari over Chet. Chet went ahead of him anyway.
True.
So we don't. If,
good point.
If they would have had the second bit, they might have just picked Chet Holmgren, and now they have the guy with the broken foot.
But okay, that's what I mean, though. I mean, you are kind of dodging a bullet. I feel like that's a more polite way of saying they dodged a bullet and not drafting him. People get way too mad with the way that people word things. I have a story from back in Seattle, and again, this is another example of why it just didn't work out there. So, Yusei Kikuchi was this pitcher for the Seattle Mariners, and I honestly wanted to say on the air at the flagship station of the Seattle Mariners that this guy was chicken bleep whenever he went up against good hitters. I wanted to say that. I wanted to call him another word, which is what I would say amongst friends, but not on the air. When he goes up against great hitters, he would always throw out of the strike zone against them, Aaron Judge in particular. So instead of saying that, I said, Yusei Kikuchi is deferential to good hitters. I say this, next thing I know, some Mariners blog writes a post about how I'm using racially coded language to talk about a Japanese man. Yes.
Wait, what was racial about it?
Apparently, there's a stereotype that Japanese men are deferential or something like that. And I was like, wait a second, what? Did you want me to call him what I was going to call him, which was a chicken bleep? You know, like a guy who's scared? Because that's, I think, a lot more of a damning thing to say about the guy. And it's funny. Like, you can put something out there. You can even polish it so that it has, like, the best of intentions and it doesn't come off as that. And people are still going to get mad at you online. It's why I don't even look at my mentions on Twitter anymore. People are looking for things to get mad about. Like, it doesn't make you look bad. Like, that's his thought is that, hey, they could have had Chet Holmgren and he could have a busted...
Right.
And he's a big guy that's tiny, as we brought up yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't believe in the skinniness. He needs to beef up a little bit.
Let's well, you like your men burly.
I do like him. Jason Momoa.
That was great.
All right, let's stick with the Mariners because there is some news that just broke per Jesse Sanchez. Mariners outfielder Julio Rodriguez is finalizing a deal. The deal is expected to guarantee him more than $200 million with the possibility earning him as much as $450 million plus.
Good for him. I love that kid. I really do. one of the most impressive first encounters I've ever had with a teenager, because he was 19 when I met him.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. He's a baby. But he seemed so mature. I was like, damn, like I'm 30 and I feel like a man child in here.
Right.
I'm not even sure if I'm going to remember all of what happens this coming weekend. And here's this guy. He's going to be a pain in the ass for a while for the Astros. I mean, if there ever is a team to challenge them in the AL West, which is just a god-awful division, I guess Artie Moreno, the owner of the Angels, I don't know if you saw this past week, but he's apparently thinking about selling the team. The A's are a bunch of poors trying to move. The Rangers are also cleaning house, too. They got rid of their president. They got rid of their manager in 1 week. This is the one team that has a chance to potentially contend with the Astros over the coming years. And Julio Rodriguez is like the first, hey, this guy's scary. But not in a, hey, I'm Mike Trout, hey, I'm Shohei Ohtani, right, the rest of my team sucks kind of way. Like, the rest of the team's all right.
Yeah. Well, you saw when he wasn't playing against the Astros, the difference that it made once he did play in that lineup. Yet, Bob Nightingale, Jeff Passan, everybody pretty much confirming that he is on his way to a, quote, massive long-term contract extension. So we'll keep you updated on that. But big news for the Mariners, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we'll close it out with some garbage time. That's next.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Yeah. Let me see those feet, baby. That's what Paul just texted somebody.
I haven't yet. I just got a text from somebody who has the wrong number.
Brother.
And I'm trying to think if I should mess around with this person, because this person is clearly looking to get laid, in my opinion.
Okay, what's the text?
Jenny, do you need a COVID-19 certificate to travel from Vancouver to San Francisco now? I have a bottle of Hibiki 30. Is that fancy liquor?
What is that? I don't know.
And invite you to my house to taste it. Would you like to come? So he has a COVID certificate and a bottle for her.
Hey, Jenny. Just be like, this is Jenny.
Hi, it's me, Jenny.
Or you could send my voice back. I'll say, hey, I'd love to come over.
Or play Renaya from the Manti Te'o.
That's
doc.
What I want to do. But yeah. I have to work on my Jenny.
No, I could
You're
be
a method
Jenny.
Actor.
I could be Jenny, yeah.
You could be Jenny.
I could be Jenny. Just like I think Renaya's cousin might have been involved in some of it. There's some reports of that, too. Who knows,
I just
though?
Got 30 minutes into it yesterday at the treadmill. Because I have no real good
It's
reason.
Compelling.
I've been watching. I mean,
because
I've watched,
you have no attention span.
Well, I've watched House of the Dragon twice, too, so.
I don't even know what that is. Is that Dragon Tales?
It's the Game of Dragon Tales. No, it's Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's right.
Dragon Crouching Tales. Tiger,
Dragon
Hidden
Tales, Dragon
House
Tales.
Of the Dragon.
Some people would be very offended if they used it as that Dragon
I don't
Tales.
Know. I liked Dragon Tales. All right, Reading Rainbow. Brad Kelner.
Reading Rainbow.
By the way. Brad Kellner, our friend who was on from 3 to 7 on the Wheelhouse, had to complete his Waffle House challenge.
Had
the long
to.
And the short of it, I think, was he 24 hours at the Waffle House, and he got an hour shaved off for every waffle that he ate.
Yeah, so right, that's how it works, yes.
He ate 11 waffles and was there for a total of 13 hours. I FaceTimed him, guys, last night after I got home from the Texans games. He seemed like he was struggling.
I don't think Waffle House has booze.
No, they don't.
So that is a big bummer. But you can't be bummed out with a 24-hour trip to Waffle House. I miss Waffle House. And I'm being totally serious here. This is not sarcastic at all. I love Waffle House.
Yeah, Waffle House is awesome.
I always would get, after every single high school football game I played, we had a Waffle House that was right around the corner from my high school in Florida. And I would go there and I would get a waffle, a hamburger, and I would get a vanilla Coke. And it's not like the vanilla Coke that you get in the bottle. It's the vanilla Coke with the vanilla syrup
Ooh.
In it. Oh, my God. That stuff is the best. I love that.
I was a big Cherry Coke fan.
Cherry Coke's pretty good, too.
Here's the thing that blew my mind. About 6 hours ago, he tweeted out a picture of hash browns, too. Was getting tired of waffles. Had to switch it up.
Oh, you can't
but
do that,
But don't you need all the room for the waffles?
Hash browns is just, taking room away from
like
the waffles.
Like, it's taking room, yeah.
Here's what you got to do. You got to vary it up. You got to vary up every single waffle you eat. So you'd have like one waffle is just butter. You do one waffle that's got a little maple syrup. Then you got another waffle that's butter and maple syrup. You got to like do your best. Maybe you put some powdered sugar on it. Maybe you ask for some toppings or something like that for it. You got to vary it up. If you have the same waffle over and over again, you're going to get sick of it.
So it
how long
like,
will it be? Go ahead.
I was going to say, it looked like Brad went with the like peanut butter chocolate. It's not chocolate chips, but it's like the peanut butter
chocolate
chip
morsels.
Yeah, kind of thing. That struck me. No syrup and the peanut butter. I can't imagine that helped. And then he had the baby fiber, like little bottle of fiber gummies for babies.
Do you think every time he walked to the bathroom, the Waffle House staff just put their head down like, this guy again?
It's Waffle House. They've seen way worse.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like, thank God for this.
They're like, you know what? I'd much rather have this than the next person who comes in completely like high on meth that like decides to stab somebody in the neck. And I have to clean it up and just have someone welcome somebody else into the booth right after that person's dead on the floor.
I wonder how many fights or near fights Brad witnessed in 13 hours at a Waffle House. Because he also, weird 13 hours to choose to go like, I think it was like from 8 o'clock to 8. No, it must have been from 7 to 8.
So he missed all the real ones at Waffle House.
No, he was there all night long.
All night, yeah. 7 p.m. to 8 a.m.
Oh,
he got out at 8 a.m. to this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, so he was there with the characters?
Right.
Yeah. He was one of the characters.
I know Quentin from sales stopped by, and I know the entire
Wheelhouse
stopped
by.
Guy stopped by.
I should have stopped by.
I FaceTimed him. He looked miserable at that point.
I haven't been to Waffle House in like 6 years.
You need to go.
I know. I miss Waffle. Actually, shoot, it might be even. No, it was the last time I went to Waffle House was for the Super Bowl in Atlanta, because there was a Waffle House that was right in the middle of the Radio Row area. I went every single day to Waffle House.
There you go.
Every single day.
All right, it is time for Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
This could 100% be me. A Rhode Island woman endured every female driver's worst nightmare on Sunday. According to the Massachusetts Police Department, she drove 30 miles from Providence to her workplace in Easton without knowing that a semi-naked stranger was asleep in the back of her car.
What's up?
She was listening to a podcast. She was really into the podcast, so she didn't realize that there was a semi-naked stranger in her Chevrolet Tahoe. He was
partially clothed. Dirty Mike and the boys?
With a pair of shorts around one leg and a shirt wrapped around one arm. Relatable.
You've seen The Other Guys, right?
It's one of the greatest comedies of the last 15 years.
It's a very underrated.
Dirty Mike.
Thanks for the
F
Shack.
I'm a peacock. You got to let me fly.
Also, she's got to name drop the podcast because that's great pub. That it had her so engrossed that she didn't know a semi naked man was sleeping.
Well, what are the odds that it wasn't a murder podcast?
Oh, it's
y'all
definitely
a murder. Grods.
Hey, it was a murder podcast. Authorities determined he was able to climb into the window's car when she started the engine and then went back inside her home for a brief period
Jesus.
Of time.
How did she not notice any of this?
Wait, so he wasn't already in the car when she got it?
He
got
in
at the same
car?
Time?
This is, apparently he was very intoxicated.
She might have been intoxicated. She didn't notice any of this.
Yeah.
I have questions.
Charged with breaking and entering into a vehicle.
There needs to be a podcast about this.
Right. I would listen to that podcast.
NPR, get on it.
12 parts.
NPR, yeah. She was driving home from Rhode Island listening to the Dateline podcast. That's scary. But that's why, as a woman, you always check your car before you, when you're in like a garage, parking garage, make sure nobody's.
You got to check behind you, too.
Check
and everything.
Behind you. Yeah. Oh, I check it all.
I regularly just give a little glance into the back seat. Just, I don't know what I'm expecting to find. It's always empty. But
that scene in The Sopranos where what's her name? Dr. Melfi, where she gets attacked. Like, that has me constantly, like, looking over my shoulders all the time in parking lots. Because I'm like, damn, like, yeah, you don't really think about it, but, like, that's the easiest place to get caught.
I had a boss at Outback Steakhouse in Greenwood, Indiana, right outside of Indianapolis, who had, he used to work for the cops. I don't know how he ended up an Outback manager, I never asked. But on my first day, he's like, we don't let women walk out to their cars alone. Because at my last Outback, a woman had one of her ankles sliced by somebody hiding under her car. Scared the bejesus out of me. I'm like 19 years old. Now I look back on that and I'm like, did that really ever happen? I don't know. But Dan, it worked. I never walked out to my car alone.
There you go.
Shout out to my Outback manager.
Yeah.
Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin apologized Tuesday for a photo showing a pair of topless influencers locking lips during a private party at her house. The picture is not appropriate. She said, I apologize for it. The kind of picture should not have been taken, but otherwise nothing extraordinary happened at the get-together.
Did she take the picture?
I don't know.
I think it was a party she threw at her house. And there's also videos of her dancing. She's getting after
it. She's fun. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Paul's...
Listen, Finland
that's
gets
why
down.
I looked for an article that included as many pictures as possible because I wanted to give Paul something.
She's 36. She's one of the world's youngest leaders. Said the controversial photo was taken during a private party after a music festival in July. So they were getting weird.
Yeah, they were, clearly. Finland seems fun, though.
Yeah.
Imagine, like...
This is a much cooler leader.
I kind of like her. I'm looking through the pictures right now.
She's fun.
Yeah, she looks fun.
I feel like you need a fun leader during a time where, you know, your neighboring country is invading another one. Like, you want to have someone who seems fun.
Who'll go to a music festival?
Yeah.
Who's the last U.S. president you think went to a music festival?
Abraham Lincoln.
Probably Obama, right? Like...
You think he, as president, he went to a music...
Oh, as president? No. Wait.
I could have seen George W. doing it.
But who's the last one to host a sketchy party behind closed doors? All of them?
Well,
right?
Yeah. I mean, every other weekend.
Right. Pope Francis has asked North Korea to invite him to visit. I had to read this headline a couple times. So he's asking North Korea to invite him.
Can't ask someone to
invite
you
over. He asked Pyongyang to invite him to North Korea, saying in a televised interview he would not turn down a chance to visit and work for peace.
Have you ever seen pictures of Pyongyang, by the way?
No, it's different than Pyeongchang, right?
Yes, it is. Pyongyang is legitimately a beautiful-looking city. They have basically crafted it. This is not me like doing North Korean public relations like that lady that they have do the newscast. Like it looks straight out of a sci-fi movie. Now, obviously, there's, like, people starving everywhere, and they have no rights, and it's terrible. But the city itself, like, actually looks pretty cool, and you wouldn't think it, because you'd think, like, North Korea doesn't have electricity.
Is it near Pyeongchang?
Pyeongchang is South Korea.
That's
Pyongyang
South Korea?
That's
is
right.
North.
Pyeongchang is where they had the Olympics.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right.
I always think of the scene in the movie The Interview, when I think of how nice North Korea is, where it's literally a, like, fully stocked... grocery store.
It's like cardboard cutouts.
That's all cardboard cutouts, and they just... tip over the entire building. That's what I think of when I think of how nice North Korea is.
But if you are bored today, look up just Google images of Pyongyang. It looks very pretty. There's this like green like pyramid and stuff in the middle of it. Like it looks cool. Obviously, they're a terrible,
would it be dangerous
terrible
to
government,
visit
but...
there right now?
Yes.
Oh, in North Korea.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah. You don't want to do that.
Unless you have Dennis Rodman taking you, there's no...
You see that one guy who went over there and he, like, I guess he, like, took a picture with a sign or something like that, and he was in jail for years, and then they finally got him back, and, like, he essentially, like, his sister found him on the plane, like, and met him for the first time, and he was, like, he's like a vegetable.
Yeah, we don't have it that bad here.
Don't go there.
A Sydney, Australia nightclub has banned staring unless the person doing the staring gets the prior consent of the person they are staring at. A failure to do so could result in the police... being called. The bar also discouraged people from coming if their sole purpose was to pick someone up. Isn't this the whole point of bars?
This bar sucks.
Nightclubs, particularly?
This bar sucks. Look, some people, you can't help it. Like, this idea that someone's not going to catch your eye when they are trying to catch other people's eyes, that's the point. When you go out, you dress nice. That is ridiculous.
Is it awkward when I stare at you, Sean?
Sometimes, but a lot of times I do give verbal consent beforehand.
That's true.
But,
Sean, can
now
I
it's uncomfortable.
Sean, do I have permission
no,
to stare at you?
No, you cannot do it.
But, okay, are you going to call the police on
yes,
me?
Yes, I will
Sean
call the Sydney police
look
at me on
because
you.
Because I'm staring
but
at him.
What do you do before you get the verbal consent? Do you look in another direction?
Hey,
how
Sean,
would you get
do I have
attention?
Verbal consent to stare at
or
you?
Or you look away.
She's not looking at him, by the
look,
way.
Look, and then, like, look away. Look. Oh, they just saw me look. I'm not staring.
Yeah.
You're going to look like you're talking to the clouds, like you're a crazy person.
Club 77 says it wants to remain a safe space, and so it had to update its rules because it recently had attracted some people who do not share our values and ethics. If you like values and ethics, you probably shouldn't open a nightclub. There's your sign. All right, that's been Vanessa N. Gallant. That's been a week of Vanessa N. Gallant.
One person does cocaine, and it ruins it for
everybody. I was going to say, the Killer Bees are up next, by the way. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
Can send it in.
Yeah. 97.5.